You're listening to ESL Podcast English Cafe, number 487. This is English as a Second Language Podcast, English Cafe, episode 487. I'm your host, Dr. Jeff McQuillan, coming to you from the Center for Educational Development in beautiful Los Angeles, California. Go to our website at eslpod.com. Become a member of ESL Podcast. When you do, you can download a learning guide for this episode that contains a complete transcript of everything we say. On this cafe, we're going to talk about a famous legal trial from the 1960s in the United States involving an American comedian by the name of Lenny Bruce. We're also going to talk about the work of a charitable organization in the U.S., the American Cancer Society. And as always, we'll answer a few of your questions. Let's get started. Lenny Bruce was a comedian and satirist in the 1950s and 1960s in the United States. A comedian is a person who tries to get other people to laugh, to make people laugh. A satirist, S-A-T-I-R-I-S-T, is a particular kind of comedian or writer who makes fun of the weaknesses of other people, or more commonly, of society. A satirist makes fun of certain aspects of our culture or society as a way, usually, of trying to improve the culture or improve a society. Some of the greatest writers in literature have been satirists. The great Jonathan Swift, for example, was an English satirist who wrote stories that made fun of some of the problems in his society as a way of trying to get people to realize that these things were problems. Sometimes we recognize problems more through comedy than we do through the newspaper. And that's what Lenny Bruce tried to do, at least in part. Bruce had a relatively short career as a comedian, but it was one that had a significant impact in many ways on American popular culture in the 1960s. Bruce was born in October of 1925 in the state of New York. Bruce was born under the name Leonard Alfred Schneider, but he changed his last name to Bruce in 1947 when he began his career as an entertainer. Lenny is just a nickname or an alternate name for Leonard. Bruce began performing comedy right after the end or at the end of World War II in 1945. As he performed, like many comedians and entertainers, he began to hone his act. The verb to hone, H-O-N-E, means to perfect something, to make it better, to refine it, usually over a long period of time. Most great writers and artists hone their skills over many years And that's what Lenny Bruce did when it came to being an entertainer and a comedian. He created what we would call an act, A-C-T, or a group of jokes, really, that people found funny, but not in a traditional way, not like a lot of other comedians during this time. He instead used a lot of what we would describe as dark humor. Dark humor refers to jokes that perhaps are about subjects that we don't normally make jokes about, but people still find them funny. This is also sometimes called black comedy or dark comedy. Black here doesn't refer to people whose skin color is black, African Americans, but rather to the fact that it's about these very serious, what we might describe as dark topics. The topics that Lenny Bruce talked about were religion, politics, sex, and drugs. He also was famous for using a lot of obscenity in his acts. Obscenity, O-B-S-C-E-N-I-T-Y, means words that other people find offensive, words that we would describe typically as being vulgar. Now, you have to be careful in describing Bruce's humor as one that had obscenity in it, because technically there are certain kinds of speech in the United States that are protected by law. Obscenity is not one of those kinds of speech, and so Lenny Bruce would not consider what he was saying to be obscenity, but people who didn't like his jokes, didn't like the vulgarity that he was using in his humor, would classify that and, in fact, got Bruce into trouble because they said he was using obscenity. I'll come back to that point in a few minutes. Bruce's act was somewhat unique during this time, in that there weren't a lot of comedians who were using vulgarity and who were using dark humor as part of their acts. In the 1950s, people in the media, especially in popular culture, television, movies, songs, didn't use a lot of swear words. And there wasn't a lot of discussion of the use of drugs or things that had explicit sexual themes. People didn't tend to criticize religious institutions and often the government. This at least is the impression that we now have of this time. I'm sure if you talk to people who lived in the 1950s, they would have a different opinion. But relatively speaking, compared to how things changed in the 1960s and 1970s, we consider the 1950s perhaps to be more of a conservative time in American culture. Despite this idea that America was a conservative culture at this time, Lenny Bruce had a very successful career. In fact, in 1948, he appeared on a national television show called Arthur Godfrey's Talent Scouts. This appearance gave him the opportunity to be known by millions of people, and soon he was working regularly as a comedian and an entertainer. In 1951, Bruce married a woman by the name of Harriet Honey, that was her nickname, Harlow. She was what we would describe as a stripper, STRIPPER. A stripper is a woman or a man who takes off her or his clothes so that other people can see her or his body. I think you understand what I'm talking about here. You usually find strippers in places that are called strip clubs, in places where it's legal for you to have this sort of entertainment. Well, Lenny Bruce and his new bride, the woman he had married, moved here to Los Angeles soon after they were married, and Bruce began performing in some of these strip clubs. Not as a stripper, of course, but as a comedian. Why would anyone go to a strip club to listen to a comedian? I'm not sure. But in any case, Bruce was doing his act in these strip clubs. Eventually, he got the opportunity to appear on another popular television program during this time, The Steve Allen Show. Allen introduced Lenny Bruce on his show as the most shocking comedian of our time. The word shocking comes from the verb to shock, S-H-O-C-K. To shock someone means to surprise someone, usually in a bad or negative way. Bruce continued to be successful as a comedian despite being shocking in his humor. In 1961, he performed in one of the best known places for performances, a place called Carnegie Hall in New York City. Later that same year, however, Bruce got in trouble. He was arrested right here in California for obscenity. Now remember I said that obscenity is a kind of speech that is not legally protected, and many states at this time had laws against people using obscene words or performing things that were considered obscene. You may be wondering, well, what's the difference between vulgar words, bad words, swear words, we would call them, and words that are considered obscene, or even actions that are considered obscene? Well, this really depends on the community where these things are happening. It depends on, in most cases, what a particular judge finds obscene. Bruce was accused of using obscenity in public when he was talking about sex and sexual acts. However, when the government tried to prosecute Bruce, when they tried to get him sent to jail for this crime, he was acquitted. To be acquitted means that the judge or the group of people who decide whether you're guilty or innocent, a group we call the jury, decide that you are not in fact guilty, that you didn't do anything wrong, that you did not break the law. Nevertheless, the police didn't give up. They continued to watch Bruce. And during the next 3 years, Bruce was arrested 3 more times in different states, not just in California, on obscenity charges. Twice his case was dismissed because the jury couldn't agree on whether he was guilty or innocent. Juries in the United States usually consist of 12 people, and all 12 people have to agree. If they don't, you have what's called a hung, H-U-N-G, jury, which means the jury can't make a decision. And when this happens, either the government gives up or they have to have a new legal process, a new trial, we would call it. The third time that Bruce was brought before a judge and jury on obscenity charges, however, he was found guilty. This was in the state of Illinois. However, Bruce did what a lot of people do when they're found guilty in a court of law. He appealed the decision to appeal, A-P-P-E-A-L, a decision, means that you go to another set of judges and say, the original decision made by the judge and or the jury was wrong. And you have to, of course, give a reason why you think it's wrong. In the United States, there are different levels of courts. The very highest court in the U.S. is called the U.S. Supreme Court. But within each state, there are also different levels, and each state has its own Supreme Court that decides on state laws. Well, Bruce was found guilty, so he decided to appeal his conviction, the decision that said he was guilty. When he did this, during this time, He went to England to perform, but the British government didn't like him any better than the Illinois government, and so he was deported from Great Britain. To be deported means that a government takes you and kicks you out, makes you leave the country. This can only happen, of course, if you're not a citizen of that country. That's what happened to Bruce. He was deported, and he was banned from performing again in either England or Scotland, two parts of Great Britain. When we say someone was banned, B-A-N-N-E-D, we mean they were prohibited from doing something. They were prevented from doing something. Bruce returned to New York in 1964, and once again, he was arrested by the police for obscenity. Many famous performers and writers were upset. They were angry that Bruce had been arrested again. This group included some rather famous people: John Updike, James Baldwin, Woody Allen, Saul Bellow, Arthur Miller, and the poet Allen Ginsberg. They all signed a piece of paper, a petition, asking that Bruce not be prosecuted, that Bruce not be found guilty, and that he be allowed to perform without censorship. Censorship, C-E-N-S-O-R-S-H-I-P, is when the government tells you that you can't say certain things in public or in a newspaper. Some people said that Bruce should have the same protection as others have under the Constitution, a protection of freedom of speech. Freedom of speech is the ability to say what you want to say, to express an opinion. However, as I mentioned earlier, in most places, freedom of speech is not unlimited. There is this exception to the law, and that would include things such as obscenity. Bruce and his lawyers argued that he wasn't using obscenity. He was just using some vulgar words as part of his satire. It took the judges a long time to make a decision in this case. And when they finally did, they said that, yes, Bruce was guilty of obscenity. Bruce again appealed the decision to another level of judges. But during this time, he began to get involved, as other performers did during the 1960s, especially in drugs. In fact, he ended up having to spend a lot of his money on his legal defense. And because of this, in 1965, he declared bankruptcy. When you declare bankruptcy, you say that you don't have any money left to pay the people to whom you owe money. Finally, in 1966, sadly, Bruce died of a drug overdose. An overdose is when you take so many drugs that it kills you. Ironically, in 1970, 4 years later, the New York Supreme Court agreed that Lenny Bruce did not break any obscenity laws. But by that time, of course, it was much too late. Nevertheless, the case of Lenny Bruce had a strong influence on other comedians and artists during the 60s and 70s, and many felt that he was one of the first that allowed greater freedom in expression in the arts. Other people think he was just a guy who told vulgar jokes. It depends on your perspective. Let's now turn briefly to our second topic, which is the American Cancer Society. The American Cancer Society is an organization that, not surprisingly, focuses on preventing and curing cancer. It's a non-profit organization. Cancer, C-A-N-C-E-R, you probably know, is a disease that is caused by these unusual increases in dangerous cells in your body. When I say it's a nonprofit organization, I mean it's not like a business that is trying to make a lot of money to get rich. It's an organization that tries to help people, and the money that it gets is just to pay for the expenses of that organization. It's called the American Cancer Society. Society is an older word for organization or group. The American Cancer Society was originally started way back in 1913. We think of cancer as being sort of a modern illness, a disease that people only became aware of or concerned about during the 20th century. But the American Cancer Society started quite early on in the 20th century. It was first started by a group of doctors and businessmen. At this time, there was really no effective treatment for cancer. These doctors and businessmen wanted to educate people, to get people to know more about cancer, what it was, and how dangerous it was, as well as to try to find new treatments for cancer, to help people get better who had cancer. In 1936, a woman named Marjorie Illig suggested that the organization add a large number of volunteers who could go out into the streets, who could go out and talk to people in order to, we would say, raise awareness of cancer, to raise R-A-I-S-E, awareness of something, is to get more people to realize that this is a problem, to tell people about this problem. Eventually, the American Cancer Society became one of the largest volunteer organizations in the United States. A volunteer is a person who works for a group or organization but doesn't get paid. The American Cancer Society today focuses on four basic areas. It tries to get people to stay healthy, that is, not to get sick by doing the right things, by eating the right food, perhaps. It also tries to help people who are sick get well. To get well means to become healthy when you have a disease or are sick. Thirdly, the American Cancer Society is looking to find a cure to cancer. A cure, C-U-R-E, is something that essentially stops a disease, something that eliminates a disease from your body so that now you are healthy. Now you don't have that disease anymore. The fourth thing the American Cancer Society tries to do is, in its words, to fight back. I'm not exactly sure what it means to fight back. Presumably it means to help people who are already sick with cancer get better, though that seems to sound like the same as getting well. Well, anyway, the organization has different programs to help people avoid certain kinds of cancer. One of the biggest things it tries to do is to get people to stop smoking. Smoking, cigarettes, of course, as well as other things that you might smoke, can cause lung cancer, among other things. The American Cancer Society also helps people get educated about different kinds of food that might either give you cancer or make your cancer worse. One thing the American Cancer Society does is conduct screening tests. A screening test is a test that you give people to see if they are sick or not. Screening comes from the verb to screen, S-C-R-E-E-N. To screen means that you examine or look at people looking for problems, looking for things that they may need to do something about, especially when it comes to their health. Screening tests help doctors diagnose cancer in people. To diagnose, D-I-A-G-N-O-S-E, means to identify a problem. It's when a doctor identifies some problem or some illness that you have. The American Cancer Society has been very successful in getting money to fund research on cancer. The fund, F-U-N-D, means to get money for, to pay for something. The Cancer Society is a large organization. It's what we might call a grassroots organization. A grassroots, G-R-A-S-S-R-O-O-T-S organization, is one that focuses most of its energy on individuals telling other individuals about these problems. It tries to get a large group of people out there who can talk to their friends and their neighbors and their coworkers about certain issues, and in this case, cancer. Each person works in the community where he or she lives to try to raise awareness about cancer and, of course, to get money for the American Cancer Society to fund more research on preventing and curing cancer. So that's a little bit about the American Cancer Society. Now let's answer some of the questions you have sent to us. Our first question is from Evgenius, E-V-G-E-N-I-U-S, in Russia. The question has to do with two verbs, to assume, A-S-S-U-M-E, and to guess, G-U-E-S-S. Let's start with the verb to assume. When you assume something, you think something is true or probably true without actually having any facts or perhaps evidence that tells you that it's true. You're not 100% sure, but you act based on the assumption that it's true. Assumption, of course, comes from the word to assume. It means that this is what you are thinking. You have assumptions, you assume things, usually in order to come to a conclusion about something or to act in a certain way. For example, your friend is an hour late for a dinner appointment. You assume that your friend had an accident or perhaps forgot about the appointment. And so you decide to leave the restaurant where you were going to meet. You make an assumption or assume something to be true, even though you don't know 100% for sure. We also use the verb to assume to mean to begin a certain job or responsibility. We can talk about someone assuming the role or the job of president. This person takes on, begins to act as the president or whatever the job is. So those are two meanings of the verb to assume. To guess is a much broader word, a much more general word that refers to any opinion or idea that you have about something when you're not sure. There are cases where you can use both guess and assume in the same situation. I guess he forgot about our dinner. I assume he forgot about our dinner. However, when you say I guess something, there isn't any connection to a conclusion or an action that you are therefore going to take. Guess can also be used in a broader sense to mean simply an idea about, say, a problem or a question that someone has. If the teacher asks you what's 5 plus 5 minus 7 divided by 4, you may not know the answer, but you could guess. You could say, oh, I think it's this. You're not sure. You haven't really thought about it very carefully, but you can guess the answer. You give your idea about what the answer might be. Some people might say that we use the verb assume when we have some reason for thinking that our idea is true, based on our past experience, for example. People might say that using the verb to guess, there's a lot less reason for you to think that. It's more of an opinion or an idea that you have without a lot of facts behind it, shall we say. Our next question comes from Argentina, from Diego, D-I-E-G-O. Diego wants to know the difference between a turtle, T-U-R-T-L-E, and a tortoise, T-O-R-T-O-I-S-E. Well, let me tell you, Diego, you're asking the wrong person. I'm not exactly what you call an expert on animals, but I'll do my best to give an explanation. A turtle is an animal, what we would call a reptile, R-E-P-T-I-L-E, that moves very slowly. It has a hard shell, that is, the outer part of its body is hard. A turtle can pull its head and its legs into this hard part of the body, this shell, and it can live in water. Those are some of the characteristics of a turtle. Now, a tortoise is also a slow-moving reptile that has a hard shell. The difference is that a tortoise lives on the land, lives on dry ground, and a turtle lives in the water. Or at least that's what it says here in front of me. I have no idea whether that's true or not, but that's the best answer I can give you. The tortoise is probably most famous or most well known to most people, not because they've seen one, but because they've heard a story called The Tortoise and the Hare. This is an old, old story. It goes back to the ancient Greeks, in fact, about two different animals. One is a hare, which is basically a rabbit that can run very fast. The other is a tortoise that moves very slowly. If you haven't heard the story, you can look it up, The Tortoise and the Hare. Finally, because we're almost out of time, quickly, Andre, A-N-D-R-E, from France, wants to know the difference between to totter, T-O-T-T-E-R, and to teeter, T-E-E-T-E-R. Well, to totter is to move your body back and forth as if you are about to fall. If you are, for example, on top of a wall and your body is moving back and forth and it looks like you might fall, we might say that you're tottering. To teeter is basically the same. To teeter means to move back and forth or side to side in such a way that you may fall at any minute. Teeter and totter both refer to moving back and forth or side to side in a way that would suggest that you are about to fall down. Now, interestingly enough, there's a noun that combines these two words in English, a teeter. Totter. A teeter totter is more commonly known in other places as a seesaw, S-E-E-S-A-W. Basically, it's a long, narrow board in the middle of which is something which in physics we would call a fulcrum, F-U-L-C-R-U-M. Basically, the board is balanced on something and attached to something and can move up and down. So when one child moves up, the other child goes down. And when the other child goes up, the first child goes down, and so forth. Children often entertain themselves by going up and down on a seesaw or a teeter-totter. If you're unsure of something in English, there's no reason to guess. Just email us at eslpod@eslpod.com. And we'll try to answer your question on a future cafe. Remember, we get a lot of questions and don't have time to answer questions individually by email, but we will add your question to our list, and with luck, before I die and before you die, we'll answer it. From Los Angeles, California, on that happy note, thank you for listening. Come back and listen to us again right here on The English Cafe. TSL Podcast English Cafe was written and produced by Dr. Jeff McQuillan and Dr. Lucy Say. This podcast is copyright 2015 by the Center for Educational Development.